This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
The gentle what?
I don't know what they say.
I don't either. I just say every time.
There's so many songs that you just don't know how to just make your way through. There. You're singing so many times.
Ben and Woods. Every day here on Ben and Woods.
All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking, it's better. We'll have John Connor from Matt Friars later this hour and Jesse Agler at 8:40. I did tease a couple of positives. I thought Robbie Ray, for the most part, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Robbie Ray is.
Very good.
Wasn't quite a quality start. Potter's been getting a lot of those. Didn't get through six innings, but five very good innings. Does put some base runners on. He's going to walk some guys.
Yeah.
You just
two last night for him.
You got to accept that. It's a little like the Blake Snell experience without the devastating swing and miss capabilities.
Correct.
But he gets some ground balls. He'll get some double plays. He'll get some out of jams.
If two walks and five and a third.
For Robbie Ray, it's fantastic. And they said last night traffic does not bother him. There are guys like that, and that are like kind of welcome the challenge. It's not what I prefer. I don't prefer it as a viewer, a fan, a manager, a coach. I do not prefer that, but. There are guys that are better at it than others.
As little as the Padres did offensively against Braxton Ashcraft, and probably shouldn't have had any runs in the six innings.
Yeah.
If Braxton had just made the simple reminder of telling the umpire that he wanted to pitch out of the windup rather than the stretch and balked in the run in the sixth. They also make contact off him. The guy strikes out. Well, how many strikeouts he has?
He's got 160 Ks already.
He only struck out two in the six innings. Padres put the ball in play, just not where they ain't, and we're not able to get many hits against Ashcraft and put together a lot of offense, and that is not unique to the San Diego Padres. Braxton Ashcraft has been
great, man.
Really good, really consistent as well for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you still had a chance to win that game. You turn it over to your bullpens in a one-run game, you feel like you've got a great opportunity, and Padres' bullpen wasn't perfect, but they did throw 6 2/3 innings and allow zero earned runs and struck out 10. So I can't really put this at the doorstep of the bullpen. Yes, Bradley Rodriguez allowed an inherited runner to score on that double that was charged to Robbie Ray when Flores hit the one that just was slightly out of the reach of Jackson Merrill.
Yep.
And Estrada allowed the free runner to come in on a single in the 12th, but that's an unearned run as well. So 6 2/3, zero earned runs from your San Diego Padres' best bullpen in baseball is probably going to serve you pretty well in the future. But yeah, you go 1 for 13 with runners in scoring position. That's the stat where the Padres lost the game. And I say that knowing the Pirates went 1 for 15 with runners in scoring position, and they won the game.
They left.
So it's not always the case.
They left 13 men on. We left 10 on base. And yeah, okay, loss is a loss is a loss. They are all, if you lost 15-1, if you lost, 3-2, they all count as one loss. But that one in particular stung just because of the valiant effort, the we don't quit. Now, again, I think you go into the locker room after that and you say, That sucked. We had a lot of opportunities to execute, but we've said this many, many times on this show, and big league ball players say it all the time. We had opportunities to win the game. That's kind of what you ask for. We didn't get the job done. Now we got to know better next time. Let's not let those mistakes happen again.
We had an interesting conversation during the break about whether the Padres should have played for the tie in the bottom of the 12th inning by having, Hayes bunt the runner over to third.
Xander on second. Hayes up. It's Hayes.
Yeah. Campy and then Harris. Not the three you're really hoping
who's
for
on
in
the,
that situation.
Who's on the bench left? It's Bowen.
You got Bowen on the bench.
Is that it?
And I believe that was it, yes.
Yeah.
Because you had already replaced Fermin with Camposano, so that's
maybe
why they
you should have listened to my idea.
Pinch ran for Camposano.
Pinch ran for Camposano. And just figure it out at catcher. I do it
Jace
all the
Bowen
time.
Bowen probably would have been your catcher at that point.
Who would it be? Would it be Crony?
I know he's done it
third
before.
Third catcher? This is where Ethan Salas instead of Dustin Harris would have come in a little
bit
more.
But I do feel that the Padres were down to fumes pitching-wise.
Sure.
It looked like they had already made the decision that Jeremiah Estrada was not coming back for a second inning because Griffin Canning was warming up. Griffin Canning, remember, who threw, three and a third on Saturday. So this is Monday. This is 2 days later. That's a lot. And then you had Wandy, but he threw two innings yesterday. So he was presumably down, except in case of incredible emergency, which meant you were really, really light on pitching, which meant you needed two runs and not just one, perhaps, in the bottom of the 12th.
But you chased that win with your best pitchers, right? You talk about running on fumes. How are they going to look today?
Well,
right?
That's the consequences. You know, the Pirates will also face the same consequences of all the pitching, but they've got a win in their pocket to start the series, which makes a huge difference. And I wanted to bring that up. Today is a very dangerous game. Again, we've had a couple of these in the last few weeks where we've talked about it. And it's dangerous for both teams because
I love Paulski,
the pitching situation. Now, Michael King has been good lately and getting better. They need Michael King more than they've needed him all season long to have a really good game today.
Big start.
Not just to give them a chance to win, but to pitch deep into the game and give the bullpen a bit of a rest after what they went through yesterday. Of course, the Pirates have Paul Skeens on the mound. Skeens, though, has not been going deep in games recently. He certainly is capable of doing so, and they will ask him for probably more than they've been asking out of Paul Skeens lately.
Don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens. He has some videos on Instagram lie in bed at night and I show my son.
It's true.
He has a really good work ethic, Paulie.
And it really seems to me
that's like your version of Tommy Lasorda was a great manager. Him and Steve Garvey were good friends.
Don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens. He has some videos on Instagram that I lie in bed at night and I show my son.
I love Paul Skeens. I lay in bed and watch his videos.
We need our own drop bar, just me and you, that we get to play of his malfeasances and mess up.
That would be mess fun. Ups. If we can set that up.
Totally. I'm sure engineering will run right out and spring for a new button bar for us.
What is that? You hear it?
Yes.
Do you hear it?
Not really.
It's because you only have one headphone on.
Maybe that's it.
It's like broadcasting in a wind tunnel.
I don't know that it's going out over the air or not. I don't know if they can hear it in our YouTube stream or not, but in our ears, we can hear this occasional like.
That's Tommy says my Instagram was peppered with Paul Skeens videos. That's true. Not like pervert Ben over here.
I think, it's going to be incumbent on both starting pitchers to rise up to the challenge in tonight's game. And, you know, I don't expect either to be battered around the yard. They're both really good pitchers, but 5 innings and one run is probably not good enough because then you are putting your bullpen in a tough situation to have to cover at least 4 innings.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
They need like 7 tonight from the starters if they really want a chance to win this game. And we've seen many times Padres have dropped you. Second half of the season, drop the opening game of the series, come back, and still give yourself a chance to win the series. So they've got to do it again now against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're still 3-1 on this homestand. Can still go 4-2 or 5-1. We would have all taken that a few days ago. You weren't probably going to win every single game. It's just the way that one transpired at the end. You just felt like the Padres were in such an advantageous position once it was tied and you've got Mason Miller and Adrian Morejon, and they did exactly what you would expect them to do, is not let that runner score. You just need to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. But it's over now. You got to go out and beat Paul Skeens today. So figure out a way to do that. Are you a little bummed, a little nervous? Manny's banged up. The team is a little bit banged up, I think. Michael King has to take this on his shoulders and go out and shove against a lineup that's not, you know, they're not great. And they're missing guys in their lineup like O'Hearn. Like, I had no problem with Robbie Ray going back out there. As Merlin Valdez hadn't hit a homer in 24 games, like, you just left the pitch up and he hammered it. Jackson was
If anything,
close
I wish they had left
ball.
Robbie Ray out even longer. And if you had known the game was going 12, you might have seen if you could have squeezed a few more outs out of Robbie Ray rather than
pitches.
Aggressively go to the bullpen.
That's why you got him. That's why you got Robbie Ray. He's your veteran. Let your veteran try to pitch out. I have no problem with it. I have no problem really with the way the game was managed, other than the way it was managed and the way it was executed in extra innings. It just looked like they panicked a little bit, man, and could not execute. And getting thrown out at second base, that double play, that can't happen. Bummer. Flush it. Move on. go 1-0 today.
Meanwhile, a couple of injury updates. We did find out that Nick Pivetta is going to throw a rehab start tonight.
Oh, nice.
I believe in Lake Elsinore again.
What?
So see if it goes better than the last one.
That's it for me. Rips a fastball and walks up the mound.
And then Joe Musgrove will pitch on Thursday now for El Paso in Oklahoma City in what will likely be his last rehab start before rejoining the San Diego Padres. Nothing, of course, is guaranteed. He's got to get through it feeling good. He's hoping to stretch himself out to at least kind of the 65 to 80 pitch range. So if he comes back, he can pretty much put together a full start for the Padres sometime in early September. And I don't believe we still know what the plan will be if Casey Mize is unable to go. He got imaging on his sprained ankle. It came back clear, which is good. So now it's just a matter of treatment and how he's feeling as he gets closer to his next scheduled start, which would come later this week. So that's where the Padres stand pitching-wise in terms of injury updates that we got yesterday from Craig Stammen.
Excellent.
All right, we got a few more minutes. You want to get to an MLB reach-around?
Don't ever do that to me while I have water in my mouth. Yes.
Thank you.
They're doing the
reach-around.
They're doing the
reach-around.
Reach around.
As we mentioned, what made it hurt even a little bit more is that the Padres did finally get some of the help that they needed, including the Philadelphia Phillies losing for the first time in 10 games. Their 9-game winning streak snapped on the road in Seattle by the Mariners, who had a huge night. Started with a 5-run first inning with Julio Rodriguez hitting a 3-run homer, and then Cal Raleigh hitting a 2-run homer, and then Raleigh went on to hit two more bombs.
Guess who dropped him 3 days ago from his fantasy team? Guess. Could you have it? Do you have any guesses?
I'm going to go with
who dropped Cal Raleigh Woods 3 days ago.
First career 3-homer night for Cal Raleigh.
So tired of every night looking negative 12 points, 4 punch outs. I'm like, I'm done with you. I'm done.
He was just waiting. That he waited all season.
You know what? I'm going to drop Manny today and pick up another third baseman, and you watch what happens. I'll do it as a social
He'll
experiment.
Have to thank you, then.
Yes.
Later in the week.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you drop me. Fantastic.
Man.
He would love to stick it to you, too.
Yes, he would.
So the Mariners beat the Phillies 9-2, and the Cubs shut out the Arizona Diamondbacks 7-0 behind 7 shutout innings from Kevin Gausman. I heard an incredible stat as I was driving in this morning. Kevin Gausman had 24 fastballs called for strikes in that game. I don't know what the Diamondbacks were looking for,
right,
but it wasn't fastballs. Generally,
in the postgame? So what were you looking for? Anything other than a fastball. That's what I was looking for up there, apparently.
Not that, and he dominated the Arizona Diamondbacks, who also, it's been reported, do expect Ketel Marte to return once the 10-day stint on the IL is over. He has not reportedly talked to his teammates yet. Went back to Arizona. They played a game. As you mentioned, he was seen at Talking Stick at the tables. Feels like there's definitely still some issues to work out between Ketel Marte and the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they are anticipating his return in what would probably be about, five days now?
But I thought his knee was hurt.
So here's the deal.
Well, he's on the IL.
So here's what happened, and this is odd. Ketel has what happens in Boston, he no-shows, right? And Torrey has come out. He's like, I felt pretty betrayed. And then they said, we're going to put him on the restricted list because he no-showed. Then they said, his knee is hurt. We are going to ship him back to Arizona. We'll also be going back to Arizona. So he went to the facility to get treatment on his knee, which happens to be right next to Talking Stick, instead of saying, thanks for the treatment on my knee. I need to go be with my teammates. I'm going to go, which, by the way, not every injured player is hanging around the clubhouse. That being said, it's like the first day, and he hadn't addressed his teammates yet. They're pissed. They're very pissed. And
we still don't really know what happened.
We don't really know what happened. You know what I mean? So I listened yesterday to Will Clark and Eric Burns. It pops up on my Instagram. I watch every time. So here's every question. Burnsy is standing there in sunglasses and a neon body glove shirt. Thrill, what would have happened back in your day if this happened? What do you mean? What do you mean what would have happened? It happened twice. And he tells the story of a couple of teammates of his. He goes, everything that guy got went up his nose, and he disappeared. And he came back in, and they cut his ass just like that. He's pounding like an old fashioned. And then he's like, and there was a quarterback, Rick Leach. Does that sound right? Rick Leach?
He's
like a quarterback and baseball player.
I think so, yeah.
And he no-called, no-showed a couple times, and they had it out in the clubhouse. So this is a huge issue for Arizona.
Rick Leach. You got it, yep.
And you're talking about a huge, huge issue that actually did happen back in the day. It's not just the modern ball player. I want to ask Booney about it tomorrow. It's not a job we think that it should ever happen, right? The no call, no show to a big league game is
kind of crazy.
But he was rehabbing.
I mean, is there a job where it is okay to happen? Not really.
No, but I mean, I've
can't
done
do it in this job.
Can't do it in this job. No, absolutely not.
How many more jobs have more eyeballs than like a professional
right,
athlete?
Right, though? Exactly. Like that's like you got to be there.
There's
for sure.
Media covering your job.
But they said Torrey said, and you could tell, man, he's worn out. You can tell. He's really worn out. He goes, technically, he didn't break any rules. He's allowed to go there after he gets treatment. Once he's done with treatment, he's done with his work job for the day. The work is over.
Off the clock.
He's off the clock.
Was the restricted list one of the lists where you
now
can't be?
Now he's on the IL.
Now he's just on the IL. So he can be in the dugout during the games.
Yeah.
Restricted list, you're not able
Correct.
To. You have to be
but
like gone after.
He's now on the IL. And so he went. He got his treatment. It was like, I'm going to go. Roll some dice or play some cards or whatever. And they said technically he didn't break any rules. Now his teammates are all coming out and saying, yeah, man, this kind of sucks. Like, I haven't really heard from him. You know, would love to kind of hear what's going on. We still really don't know.
We're in a pennant race
that's
here.
That's a problem, like,
we're fighting for a playoff spot.
I love
that.
Yeah.
Can he do
guy,
anything
but,
about it when he's on the injured
no,
list?
No, he can't. He can be there for support. And, like, again, for eyewash, if he wants to be there, he doesn't want it. He does not want to eyewash the Diamondbacks right now.
Based on how this has all played out so far, I don't believe his knee is that injured. It sounds like there's something else going on, and they're saying it was a knee injury to put him on the restricted list and now the IL. But so you could say, like, yeah, he can't help if you're hurt, but I'm like, well, you may not be on the IL if you didn't just bail on us last week.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. So, again, if you get hurt in the middle of a pennant race and go, guys, I'm hurt.
It happens.
I'm hurt. It happens. They've all been through it, too. That's different than I'm just not coming to work. Right? Like, I feel for the guy because he's clearly an emotional dude.
I do too, but we also have this dynamic where we really would love the Arizona Diamondbacks to just
fall
implode
away. Right. We need that.
Over the last month to make it a much easier road to the playoffs. The Padres, is this the way I want it to happen? Not really, but I'm not cheering for them to get it all together. Like,
Cattell, we're rooting
Cattell
for
comes
you.
Back and they all rally around him and go on a run. Not looking for that either.
I'm not
so.
Either. What did you think about
situation.
Will Clark? Not bad, right?
Yeah, Will Clark was excellent.
Freaking look, man. All those guys.
High-voiced Will Clark.
All they do is, literally all they do on that show is just crap on modern baseball. But every clip that pops up, I watch it. It's really good.
I think we can skip the rest of the reach around. It was a
light
Monday.
That's all we needed.
Those were the main games. Good to go. We will take a timeout. When we come back, it is time for Don't Do This. More details on the Jed York arrest that was reported during our show yesterday, and a Major League Baseball team making a decision that is getting panned around the league. We'll get to all that coming up next with Bennett Woods, broadcasting live from our Bill House studios. We know how on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, listen, gang, after I get my knee worked on, I like to jump in my Ford F-150. Sometimes I go down to 7 Mile Casino. Worlds can collide right here. No, you got to get down to Sedano Ford. If you're looking for a new car, truck, if you're looking to maybe buy a birthday present for your significant other, the back-to-school savings event is going on right now. Always wanted to have a big bow on a truck, right? Walk outside and it's there. You can make that happen at Sedano Ford. Brand new 2026 Ford F-150 STX, $349 a month. The 2026 Bronco Sport Big Ben, also $349 a month. And take a guess how much the 2026 Ford Explorer Active is. It's $349 a month. Even more to take advantage of. 0.7% APR financing, plus no payments for 90 days on select new Ford models. And these offers will not last forever. So stop by your local and veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Let them know Woodsy sent you. For more details and even more great offers, go to SedanoFord.com. Once again, SedanoFord.com.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why? How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. I will start us today on Don't Do This with what clearly looks like a cost-cutting move by the Miami Marlins. The Athletic and others reporting that the team has fired most or all of their pro scouting department mid-season. Those are the guys who are responsible for scouting future opponents, for looking at players that you might be trying to acquire and trades or got DFA'd, like just to making sure you get a pulse on what's going on the big league level. And according to the reporting from Ken Rosenthal and Will Salmon, basically the Marlins are saying, hey, we can just do this with video. We don't need to be actually sending scouts to games to watch guys personally. Everything's on TV. We'll just handle it, watch them ourselves, and you know, we'll have our own reports and we'll be fine. Not going over all that well in Major League Baseball. It's a lot of jobs being lost, a lot of people who have been in the game for a long time. No official word on exactly how many employees were fired, but you can imagine it was not a fun day. And by the way, Miami's not
four out,
not out of it,
four out of a wild card, right?
Yeah,
now.
I mean, they're still, you know, hopefully they're not going to chase down anybody, but they're definitely having a good season. This is not a way to reward your staff for a good season.
Now, I'm under the assumption that they will hire new scouts next year, but I with the Miami Marlins, now listen, they've come under fire the last few years for the way that they've operated their franchise. That being said, they've got some really good young talent. They have made some savvy moves. They have won way more ball games this year than anybody really expected them to, because mostly on the backs of their young pitching. But I don't know, man. Like, what is the end game here? If the end game is save as much money as we can, fold the franchise. Move it somewhere where it will be successful. Like, move it to Nashville or Portland or whatever, where guys will actually give, you know, fans. But if you're a fan there, you're like, why? Like, yes, I want to watch Yuri Perez pitch. Yes, I want to watch... who's the other kid that they got that I really like, their starting pitcher? Damn it. They've got some really good, exciting young players, but why would you support that team when all they do is just cut costs at every turn?
Did have a tough loss last night. Tied 2-2 with the Red Sox in the ninth. Pete Fairbanks hurt, had to walk off the mound, and then the guy replaced him, gave up the two runs, and they lost 4-2. So
that will do it.
They could have picked up a game on everybody.
Yeah, they could, because everybody else lost. So let's update you guys on the story that we did yesterday, talking about Jed York, owner of the San Francisco 49ers. Some more details have emerged, and it's about as bad as it gets, to be honest with you. He was obviously charged with engaging in prostitution and a charge of possessing criminal tools, and the more salacious charge was downgraded to disorderly conduct in a plea deal with the prosecutor. So he was online and accessed a website that had women of the night, or in his case, women of the morning, is the shift that he picked. He went
They weren't actually women. They were undercover police officers, but yeah.
But he did arrange to have activity with a female in the early morning hours, and he was going to meet her at the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community, a trailer park in East Palestine, Ohio. He had fallen victim to a police sting by the Human Trafficking Task Force and was intercepted when he hit the park. It's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as it gets.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
He's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. From my understanding, I've never known billionaires and run in their circles. I can't imagine companionship is difficult to find. I can't. I feel that even if you're I know hundredaires that still have plenty of companionship. It's never been an issue for them. Millionaires, billionaires is a different league. It's a different level. Somebody said yesterday on Twitter, said, hey, man, you're a billionaire. You can afford steak. sometimes you want to eat a hamburger. And I went, oh, man, that is gnarly. But it sucks. It sucks. It's gnarly, and he is in deep, deep trouble. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't know what's going to happen to him.
I did chuckle at this side
note.
Does the
NFL have to step in? Does he have to give up the ownership? Like,
I don't know.
Is it that bad? I don't know.
They let a lot fly in the NFL. A lot.
We also see it where teams or leagues will love to make an example out of somebody. You never know.
It's tough, though, with the owners. I chuckled because it's a serious matter, but the 49ers did, of course, have to release a comment.
Yes.
About
what did they say?
What do you comment on when it's your owner that's the one who's gotten in trouble? And the comment that they released was, as this is a legal matter, which has been resolved, we will not be providing any further comment at this time. Is that opposed to when you say, as this is a legal matter, which has not been resolved, we're not going to be providing any further comment at this time? Apparently, you just never have to comment on any legal matters at any time because they're either resolved or unresolved, and they're just not going to say anything ever, which I understand. If you are working in their PR department and you are having to craft a statement about your boss or your boss's boss getting arrested in a prostitution sting, probably going to phrase that pretty carefully, I'd imagine, if you work for the 49ers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We are aware of a situation involving Adam Klug. We are going to allow legal investigation to
run its course.
We are going to comply and help out as we need to.
As this matter has not been resolved by the courts, we will not be talking about Adam Klug at all today.
No, absolutely not.
All right, finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
You know what? We actually don't see this very often, so I would like to give some praise to one of our local teams. The USD men's soccer team is now ranked number one in the entire country in Division I men's soccer.
Wow. No
they kidding. Started in the teens, but their first win was at number one Washington. They opened the season by dethroning the number one preseason team on the road, followed that up with another win, and when the new soccer top drawer soccer poll came out that does the national polls for men's soccer, USD found themselves at the top of the charts, at number one in the country. So you won't see it in college football. I don't think the Aztecs ever got to number one in college basketball, Paulie. I think they got to number two. The year, I think they got all the way up to number two at one point. Don't think they were ever number one, but it is kind of cool to see one of our local teams in any sport ranked number one in all of college sports, and that's the USD men's soccer team under Coach Brian Quinn.
Well, and I'm going to shout out Kenley Rasmus. I watched her pitch last night in the Little League.
Oh, you've
World
been watching
Series.
A lot of Little League Baseball,
my
I know.
God, what I wouldn't do to have Kenley Rasmus on the Encinitas Goats. Yeah, I mean, she is the entire package. Can play defense, can pitch, can hit. And they were down 5-0, came back and won 6-5, and she was a huge part of it. I love watching her play baseball. My whole family was watching her last night, and I went, man, there was a girl in Encinitas Little League last year, and she was fantastic. Fantastic. I think it's the coolest thing. And watching her play, watching how her teammates rally around her. Also, she's the best player on the team, so that doesn't hurt. And she's the go-to. Like, oh, we're in trouble? Let's call on Kenley Rasmus to come bail us out. So shout out to her. Big day for women yesterday with Kwanzaa Jones and Kenley Rasmus.
Oh, and Tijuana plays this morning at 10 a.m. in an elimination game against Tokyo as well, trying to stay alive in Williamsport. And that is Don't and Doo-Doo This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, we got our friend John Connor from Mad Friars in studio. Going to get an update on Ethan Salas and how he has risen back. I saw another prospects list back into the top 10 after disappearing from some top 100 lists during the offseason last year. Maybe we'll even find out who exactly Dustin Harris is. I'm not sure. It's possible.
I think he just found out, actually.
Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget to keep listening for your chance to win some Padres tickets for the Fernando Tatis Jr. City Connect bobblehead game on September 8th, sometime between now and 10 o'clock. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that. And we're going to be talking some baseball right now, including Padres in the minor leagues. We are joined in studio by our friend from Mad Friars. John Conniff is here. Johnny, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks for making the trip up.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. You know, I was listening to you guys in the morning when I was driving down from Del Mar, and you said you got to express gratitude, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. I don't have to express gratitude for working with David J.
That's fair. Okay, no, I get it. I fully get that.
No, but on a serious thing, one thing that was really nice is I went to the Padre game on Sunday to do an interview with Jace Bowen, and I go into the clubhouse to check in, and the guy says, oh, you're from Mad Friars. And I'm just shocked when anybody knows who we are. He goes, yeah, what prospects are you guys talking to? And I goes, well, just out of curiosity, how'd you know us? He goes, I read your site because I started listening to you guys on Ben and Woods.
Let's go, dude.
So,
that's how it works.
We owe you guys a big thank you. So thank you very much for helping us promote our site.
My pleasure.
I do know, Johnny, people that you have the friendly rivalry with your colleague, David J. But
friendly?
He did really kill it on our listener trip to Chicago.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Awesome. He's pretty high on my rankings right now.
Yeah, he is.
You know, so I'll defend David at this point.
Well, someone has to.
Mine goes Clark, Fahrenholt 1, David J. 2, you 3. Top 3 is pretty good.
Last time I give you any advice on cards, man.
I love it. Well, listen, obviously, I know where you stand. We text a lot about,
yeah.
I know where you stand on bringing up Ethan Salas.
Yes.
Right now, it doesn't make sense, in your opinion. Yeah, or does it? Have you changed your mind a little
bit? You
know,
I've changed my mind on Ethan frequently this year, and we can get into that. I would say this, I just look at it like this with you. If you think Ethan Salas is better than what they have catching now, and it's play every day, then yes, I think you should call him up. But that's,
not though right now.
Like, I don't think he is. I think he's going to be a starting catcher next year.
That's awesome.
I'll say that. And I mean, the big thing with Ethan Salas, if we can get into that really quick, is, you know, I had a number 4 on the ranking coming in. I mean, the guy hit .206, had a .599 OPS in 2024, didn't look good in San Antonio. And then when both David and I went to spring training, we were there for about 5 days. It's one, he grew. He's about 6'3", 215. And then, you know, since you're a coach, you might get into this, is Ethan, when I interviewed him in San Antonio, and I think that's one thing I'm really proud of our site, I think we're about the only people that went out to San Antonio and actually interviewed Ethan in San Diego. And Ethan made the point that he can always get his bat on the ball of a lot of pitches, but he was not making good contact. And so they really worked with him, you know, when he had time off, of getting his best swing off.
Sure.
And he got a lot more patience, and he was swinging at better pitches. That's something Dave and I disagreed with slightly. I think not everything's a zero-sum answer. Yes, I think getting bigger and stronger helped drive more pitches, but I think, you know, if you're coaching and it's 2-0 and some guy swings at a pitch at the knees on the outside corner, the first thing Coach Wood just think, what are you doing?
Yeah, why are you swinging at that?
Yeah. So Ethan said when he gets off his best swing, the one he can do damage with, that's his goal at every plate appearance.
Sure.
That's really worked out for him.
Yeah, it has. And he's climbed through the ranks this year, and now, you know, getting that national pub as well and moving up to those ranks. But, you know,
he was only on one top 100 list coming in, and with good reason.
I mean, for sure.
You couldn't name anybody. And I asked the Padres this, and I even asked Mr. J this. Could you name one guy that did poorly in high A that succeeded in double A, and they couldn't?
Well, let me ask both of you this question then.
Sure.
If you're right, John, and Ethan Salas is going to be the Padres catcher next season, earns it, you still have 2 years of control on Luis Camposano and 3 on Freddie Fermin. Freddie Fermin has actually played pretty well the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had dealt with some concussion issues early. Luis Camposano obviously has been an offensive force.
Yes.
Are you trying to switch positions for one of those guys? Are they trade bait in the offseason? What are we doing about the Padres catching situation going forward?
I think it's a great question, but I also think at the major league level now, you need at least 2 catchers. You're not going to sit there and put Salas behind the plate for 150 games. And, you know, and I think Luis Camposano, I think when he came on this show, I talked at the beginning of the year, I thought Luis Camposano could hit, and Paulie was telling me he was a 4A player, so I'm going to take a bit of a victory lap over here. And, you know, Luis in El Paso, the year we liked him a lot, he rotated between catcher, DH, and first base. So
yeah.
I think you could even have all 3 of them. I think that would work out pretty well. Luis was a decent first baseman. And, I mean, letting Luis catch 2 or 3 times a week, DH a couple of times, play once first base against lefties, have Salas back there. It'd be a nice, easy run up to him, not put too much on him in the minor leagues. Pretty much Ethan catches one game, DH is the next, so he's kind of used to that routine. But yeah, Salas is really good, and right now he looks like everything he's been hyped up to be. So we'll get back on the hype train with Ethan right now.
Talking to our pal John Connor from Mad Friars. In the, I don't know that I got your takes on what we gave up for Ray and Mize. And where the kid, Joniel Hernandez mm-hmm. has gone to San Francisco, and he hits a home run every game he plays. He's hit five or six home runs since he left. Now he's
17,
like, A-ball, rookie ball, right. Like, you know, he's at a lower level, but he's mashing the ball. Mm-hmm. Was there anything in there that surprised you, number one, or two, that you go, oh, because I know how mad you get around this time of year, because some of your beloveds end up packing their bags?
I think the best way to look at prospects is this, and, you know, you guys follow local San Diego baseball a lot, is in the minors there's 165 guys on an active roster. Then you have 180 people. You have to be really, and someone who plays, you guys play adult league baseball, someone who's makes a professional team is really, really good.
Yeah, very.
Then you get into it, if you're in the top 20, that's amazing. But, you know, you're still talking about there's around 800 guys in the major leagues, 600 guys in the top 20. So the big separator is who's in the top 100. So with a guy like Cash Mayfield, to be quick, I like Cash a lot, but I also think that there was a not positive how much velocity he was going to gain. He was around 90 to 93. He hit the ball really well, which gave high ball hitters tough. His slider's okay. It's not as good as his changeup. And so if both of those improve a lot, he could be a number three starter. More likely, he's about a number four guy. And when you look at the Padres, you know, with the contracts they have, the ages of those guys, you got to take a shot right now.
Sure.
The other guy, Miguel Mendez, who they traded for Robbie Ray, kind of the exact opposite of Cash. Huge fastball, doesn't really have a consistent secondary pitch. It's probably more of a relief pitcher.
No idea where it's going.
Yeah, and Joniel Hernandez, when you talk about him, yeah, the Padres paid $1.2 million for a shortstop. I mean, that's a good get by the Giants. They also paid $3.8 million for a shortstop in Elliot LaSalle, who I just saw in Lake Elsinore, who is very, very
impressive.
Keep seeing
him.
Like him. Keep seeing LaSalle, the second-round pick of the Padres.
He doesn't swing and miss. Like, he's putting the ball in play.
Left-right guy has a really good idea. He's one of the – when I saw just two games they played, so I was really high on the hype train on him. You got to maybe watch a little bit more, but – he's one of the few guys that is a patiently aggressive hitter. He has a very good idea of what he wants to swing at. Someone throws him a cookie on the first pitch, he's fine going after it.
Love it.
Now, everything is kind of going to – he's left-handed, left-handed hitter. Everything's kind of going left or left center. Probably going to work in getting a pull. He turned down going to Yale. It was a real thing. His parents – dad went to Princeton. Mother went to, I think, a pretty high college in Canada. I forget what name is offhand. You know, I'm not sure he's a shortstop, but I mean, just in terms of his approach at the plate and what I saw, he doesn't swing and miss a whole lot either.
Yeah.
Talking to John Connor from Mad Friars. I'll guess I'm Ben Woods appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking. It's better. What about last year's first round draft pick? Are we worried about Cruz Schoolcraft? The numbers have been eh.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, thing with Cruz is he's still growing. And I interviewed him down when I was at Lake Elsinore this past week. One, he's not 6'8". He's 6'10", 245. So he has to really learn how to spin a pitch. And when I interviewed him, I thought he was...
245?
Yeah.
Good Lord. 6'10", 245? My God.
So
there's still time to
grow
into his frame.
He's one of the few guys, when I talked to him in spring... Yeah, most guys know exactly how tall they are. He was kind of going, I think I'm around over 6'8". They haven't measured me. I said he actually said, I hope I kind of stop growing. I'm tall enough. But, you know, he was really good in his interview. He said, you know, the big thing about it was he got humbled a lot. He said, you know, these guys are really good. I mean, if you're 6'8", 230 in high school throwing 96, you're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he... kind of had to learn how to throw a second pitch. He's excited about what's coming up in you know, in the instructs. But yeah, the night I saw him was pretty rough. So we'll see what he can do. I mean, he's still very young. I mean, you kind of want to sit around with a guy like that and let him take his time. But no, he's not going to be on the Padres in about 3 or 4 years or anything like that.
All right. And finally, you know, we've been following Dustin Harris for years and years and years.
Nice awaiting, to see him finally.
Awaiting his debut on the big league level. It finally happened yesterday. John, what a special moment. Yeah. Who is Dustin Harris exactly?
Well, I had
Where
call-
did he come from?
Well, I did call David up because he knows everything about everything. So, but he's had 29 games in the Padres system. He's been with three different. He's been with the White Sox and the Astros this year, and kind of that's how AAA kind of runs. It's kind of interesting when you guys were talking about the pro scouting. That's what they kind of do. They go around to different AAA clubs and different levels of the minors of the clubs, and they look at guys who could be interesting. And the Padres have been really successful with that. That's how they got Jace Bowen. That's how they got Samad Taylor. Quick thing, Harris is a left-handed hitter, played mostly center field for the Chihuahuas this year. Had some really good numbers, hit 350, I think had about 1,069 OPS. You know, he's hot, and they kind of need someone in left field, so they're going to pretty much give him a shot. Good size kid. He's 26, and, you know, should be fun to watch.
All right.
As long as you don't ask him to bunt in a key situation in extra innings, apparently.
Take a pitch that hits
John, it is always good to see you. Thank you for making the trip up to the sixth floor and visiting us here at our Odyssey Studios.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
John Kana from Mad Friars. And if you are at all interested in what the Padres are doing in the minor leagues and guys that A.J. Preller will probably be trading at some point in the future, you can follow Mad Friars for all the details.
That's right.
I know. It seemed like AJ is excited about Elliot Lassell,
yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Whether or not he sticks at shortstop, he fits that mold of AJ Preller guys to a T.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I mean, and again, you said it, and John hates to hear it, but trade bait.
Oh, trade God.
There it is again.
God, who can it be? Who will it be now? Don't fall in love.
You don't get paid when they get to the major league level, John. It's, you know, this is just part of it.
That's so. Right.
Unless they own a card. Right?
That's true.
That's true. You guys can talk about that during the break. Woods gets all of his card advice now from John Conniff, which minor leaguers to buy. We will come back. We've got hour number three, which will include a little take on Woods, a chance to be our first VIP qualifier for the Leonard Skinner tickets, and we'll play the Incorporator with Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, will join us coming up at 8:40. Stay tuned. More Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.